Coming up on TMS, what's the deal with the new restaurants?
I'm here in Vegas.
New reasons not to pee in a pool.
Man tries to shoot his puppy, and it goes really wrong after that.
We have a new Dr. Doom to talk about.
Pat Boone, Dr. Doom, Pat Boone is in trouble with the man.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Yahoo! It's Twinkie the Kid! Wow!
Howdy, partners! Come on to Hostess Twinkie Town for some golden sponge cake Twinkies.
Watch out! They're stealing the Hostess Twinkie!
Watch this. Here's your reward.
Thanks! creamy filling!
Yep, you get a big delight in every bite of Hostess Twinkies.
You want my advice? Double it!
The Morning Stream is brought to you by Frog Pants, because Toad Trousers doesn't flow as nicely.
Good morning, everybody. Toad Trousers, that's pretty good. I like the sound
Toad
of that.
Toad Trousers.
Yeah, nice, mm-hmm. Right? I think I should change it officially and go get that LLC changed. Ladies and gentlemen, hello. Good Perfect. Morning. Welcome to Morning Stream Time. It's Wednesday, April 2nd, 2014. Thank goodness it's the 2nd.
Yes, our long national nightmare is over.
But it's an exciting day because along with the normal Wednesday tomfoolery, we got Brian Ibbett in the big house down there in Vegas.
That's right. Sin City. Uh-huh. I like how you called it tomfoolery.
Yeah, right? Because it's Tom Day.
It's Tom and Nicole foolery.
That's right. Nicole foolery is way worse than tomfoolery. So you're in Vegas. You're in the MGM. It's an hour earlier. You're making sacrifices so that the listeners can truly have another fine day with us. And so, you know.
I am. Because you know what time I got to bed? Mm. It was about 2:15, 2:30.
That's late. What are you doing out? Are you slots, blackjack table?
No,
what are you doing?
No, hanging out with James and Svet. So we went and got some sushi. So they had a band practice tonight, so they didn't get done with that until about 8 o'clock, 8:30. Mm. So then they met me here. We went out and got some all you can eat sushi at this place that they discovered, this real hidden gem here in Vegas that is really, really good. Like $22, and it's decent. Decent sushi. It's like really good sushi. Hmm. I was really surprised. For an all-you-can-eat place, usually it's like, yeah, it's the, you know, it's sure. The, it's all white fish. We just diet orange for salmon. We diet red for tuna. Right. And then they even had like a big screen video, or big screen TVs showing nonstop Korean and J-pop music videos.
Oh,
really,
wow.
Really cool
that's
stuff.
Great. Yeah. That's a great way to set yourself apart down there. That's great.
We honestly could not take our eyes off the screen. It was like one Asian Spice Girls after another, basically is what it was. Like, and they all had their characters, but it was like, instead of it being, well, I'm the sweet one, I'm the scary one, blah, blah, blah. It was like five leather clad Korean pop singers.
Wow.
And then the next one had five kind of sweet in their little pretty pink dresses, Asian singers. And it's just really funny how formulaic it seemed to be after you saw like half a dozen of these videos.
Yeah, I haven't really kept up with that stuff, but my Korean brother, who I talk about on the show sometimes, is way into the K-pop. He buys it all. He's way into it. His kids were all sort of into it when they were younger. Now they hate it, but he loves it still. He's still playing it. Like, I'll go over there and you'll hear him playing through the house like a love ballad. Like some super soft kind of endless love style thing, but it's new, like just came out sort of thing. But it's so cheesy and so old, and
it really is. Yeah,
like that kind of stuff is real.
Rough. Yeah, and you'd hear a song, you'd think, okay, well, this has got to be from like 20 years ago or something.
Yeah.
But no, it's like a brand new song, and all of them strangely sound familiar. Right. Like they took, you know, they took. Backstreets Back by the Backstreet Boys and twinged it so that, you know, it's kind of the same song, but not exactly the same song.
It's a bit like, it's like buying one of those royalty-free CDs that have, you know, it's not quite the A-Team theme, but it's kind of close to the A-Team theme, like that. It's like, we need something that sounds like the A-Team without getting in trouble. What do we do?
Exactly. Without being it. Yeah. So after Sushi, we went to a brand new thing that apparently, I thought actually opened a month ago, but apparently opened the day before yesterday, opened on the 31st. Mm. And it is the largest observation wheel in the United States. In the world.
Observation what?
Observation wheel. So instead of calling something a Ferris wheel, yeah, now you call it an observation wheel. It's kind of like aioli and mayonnaise, basically, is what it is.
Okay.
But, you know, an observation wheel, you ride for the view more than the actual thrill of the ride, as opposed to a Ferris wheel, which you kind of ride, you know, for the thrill of being up high and swinging in a basket and whatever. This is a lot like the London Eye.
Oh, yeah.
Where it goes really, really slowly. Like, it takes you about half an hour to do one full revolution. Mm. And you go up about, you know, 60 stories or something. It's really cool.
I would hate that so much.
The view is amazing. Although it could have been better. I don't know why they put it. They actually put it on the backside of the hotels. On the strip. Like, so I guess there's no more room in the front. they've exhausted that whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So they had to put this giant observation wheel behind all that stuff. Mm. And so you see, until you get really high, you're basically looking at the back of Harrah's and the Quad and Planet Hollywood and stuff like that. And then once you get high enough, you're like, oh, wow, okay, I can see everything.
Yeah, see the whole valley up there.
Exactly.
That's not for me, man. The heights thing, it's too much. I can't do it. I don't care if they call it an observation wheel and it moves 1 inch per hour. I can't do
right.
it.
Right. Yeah.
Can't do it. But you got up on that thing then.
Oh, God, no problem at all. And then after that, it's part of this whole new area that they developed between the Quad and Harrah's and the Flamingo called the Link, yeah. LINQ. Mm-hmm. How clever. It's like
hate
Xscape.
That.
Bleh. Yes, and they also got a brand new bowling alley. It's like a nightclub bar bowling alley all jammed into one.
That's cool.
And so there's video screens above every lane. It's kind of like I don't know if you've got Lucky Strike lanes where you're at, but it's kind of like that, except way more geared towards having live bands come.
So it's like It's like midnight bowling that never ends. It's always midnight
pretty
at
much.
That place.
Yeah,
that's great.
Pretty much. Yeah.
That's how it should be. That's great. So you got a chance in your short time there already to see all kinds of new things. That's great.
I did, yeah. Exactly.
All right. Well, the stink hasn't settled in yet, guys. Give him another day, and he'll be like, okay, I'm good. I can go home now. exactly. Well, I'm glad you're here, that we can do this, that we can somehow work this out. And so this reminds me.
Yes.
When you go to Vegas and you see a new thing like this observation wheel.
Yeah.
Let's just call it. It's just a freaking Ferris wheel. What the
hell? It's a big Ferris wheel. Yeah.
All right. So this big Ferris wheel, or there's a new restaurant, or this bowling place, or whatever. There's new things, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, last night we found out that just about three blocks from me, where there's like this little mini kind of village type shopping restaurant-y place. Mm-hmm. There's like a nice little sports bar and some other stuff that's there, and we like going over there. It's nice, but
is it just like a mini village?
Mini village. I wish I had that guy on tap more often because he's fantastic. So I go over there and we're thinking we'll try out this new Italian deli bistro thing that's supposed to be good. And it had just opened yesterday. In fact, it opened yesterday, brand new day. So we thought we'll go down there. We're supporting the community. We're going to help these guys out. We know the people who don't know them very well, but we know the people who opened it. So we want to support them. And we go in there and everything looks great and there's stuff everywhere and there's weird meat and olives and crap you can buy and all this stuff. So we're thinking, cool, man. And then it settles in, this thing that happens at all new places. It's this weird, awkward, we don't know what we're doing yet vibe. And right. I hate that feeling because you're up there and you're all up for them. You know, you're like, yeah, what do we got here? This is great. Okay, cool. And the menu's super tiny and I barely see it. So I'm like, what does that say there? And they all look at it and stare at it like they don't know either. And, you know,
I think that's got sausage in it, but I can't be sure.
Right. I mean, he may as well have said that. And so at some point I asked for what I wanted. And this guy is probably in his 50s and he's got a beardish sort of beard, gray beard. And he's kind of all gussied up in an apron and all this stuff. And I said, yeah, I want the panini something something. And he just stared at me Like, as if I didn't talk.
As if, like, no follow-up question, no message received.
No, nothing. As if he didn't hear it or as if I wasn't there, like kind of a looking through me kind of moment. And I just didn't know what to do. So I said, is that, you got that? I didn't know what to say because you're leaving me with very little to say. All I can say is, did you get that? Does that make sense? And he sort of stared for another, like, I felt like an hour, but it was like maybe 5 seconds. And then he finally goes, yep. Okay. The turkey panini. I'm like, yeah. Okay. Good.
See, now if I were at home, I would have absolutely pressed the button on my mixer to do the echo.
Yeah.
And I'd be doing, Panini. Like, this is the thought that's going through his head. Panini.
Yeah,
panini.
Like a Seinfeld episode or something.
Exactly.
So he gets my order, and I'm like, phew, thank goodness that's over. Kim gets up to the thing, and she's just as jolly as she's ever been, because she loves this whole idea of, hey, it's local and it's small, and we want to, you know, it's all... It's just,
support the...
Yes.
Right, exactly.
Very excited. So she gets up there. She wants the little $5... thin crust Italian pizza thingy. Mm-hmm. Same deal. Stares at her. Just staring right through her like laser beam eyes. And it was so weird because it wasn't anything difficult. It was, yeah, I'll have that mini pizza, whatever the name was. It was a straight up name. She goes, let's have that and a water and I'm good. And she ended it like that. And he just stared at her.
Oh,
and I
God.
Still, to this moment, don't know why he was doing that every time somebody ordered anything. Nick ordered something. He just stared. And I thought, well, with a kid, maybe it's just because he's not being loud enough or, you know, sure. I wasn't sure. But
was he writing anything down?
No.
Okay, there you go. So that's what he was doing. He was doing some sort of little waiter trick where you imagine the food that you're bringing out to people as opposed to writing down thinking – turkey, panini, bacon, avocado, blah blah blah. You're thinking about the food and who it's going to, so that you can go tell the kitchen. Then when the food comes, you bring it out and you give it to the right person.
Well, great. So while Rain Man's, he was behind the counter there, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
it's not like you know he was trying to be impressive by not having anything nearby. Like he could actually.
Right. He's just, there's nothing else to do. He's engaging only us. There isn't another table to be thinking about. He's strictly staring right into our eyes and he's pausing for 10 seconds after what you say. And
Then I've got no explanation.
Me neither. I walked away going, I don't know, man. Is this just new? He doesn't know what he's doing yet. Oh, and there was a gaggle of who I can only assume are his daughters just kind of standing around looking at everybody. Like, it's hard to explain, but they're kind of like, there's nothing to do, I guess, because they're all ready and set and clean and whatever. And they would just, like, while we were ordering, they would just kind of hover around and bounce on one foot and stare at us. It's like, I can't wait to hear what they order. I can't wait to hear what they order. And I think it's just a new thing. It's supposed to be a new, right. New restaurant, break it in. Everybody doesn't quite have their vibe yet or something. The food was fine. It was good. You know, no big deal. Huh. Oh, this is the other odd thing. The entire menu, and I'm not kidding you, this is not making this up, other than the gelato thing they had at the end of the counter there, every item on the menu, $7.25 each. Every single one.
Really?
Yeah. And so when I got the menu, I got the little menu to take home because, you know, they do takeout and stuff. And I look at the menu, and it's literally all these line items, and then this giant list of $7.25 just repeated over and over and over all the way down the side.
So he totally was Rain Man. Basically, he's like, hey, how much is that candy bar? About $7. How much is that turkey panini? About $7.
Just a little over $7. Maybe he was watching Wapner in the back. I don't know what was going on. But anyway, it was an odd experience, and we'll keep supporting it. But geez, man. Give me some.
Yeah, let us know in a month, like after it's been open for a while, if things get better.
They've got to keep up because the sports bar across the street, those guys are on it, man. They got great pub food. It's great music playing all the time. Sports crap going on. These girls are quick and funny, and they're taking orders without writing anything down, and they're fast, and nobody stares at anybody for too long. Like, they've got that to contend with, so I hope they
everybody
hope they
stares
get
at you just the right amount.
Right. It's like internet lag. You can accept so much of it. Then it gets bad. Right. All right. Hey, right. Look at this, everybody. It's us doing a show. We're going to bring Daryl in. Just do like the normal thing here. We're not going to get too crazy. Oh, hold on.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get crazy.
Hold on. This isn't working again. Damn it. All right. It'll have to do. All right. Let's play a little thing here and go for it. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by
Grand Slam Wrestling's Kicking It for Joe event, a huge benefit wrestling event. And to raise money for medical bills to help Joe Freshon, a brave 10-year-old boy battling bone cancer. Please come on down and help us support this great cause. This event will be held at the Nanticoke Armory in Nanticoke, Pennsylvania, Saturday night, April 26th at 7 p.m. Can't make it to the show live but still want to help 10-year-old Joe? Just visit gswrestling.com and click the donate button on the bottom right. Thank you, and we hope to see you there.
Muy brilliante.
Yeah.
Daryl, how you doing, man?
I am good.
How are you? Wow, that's good. Did I tell you guys?
You sound good.
I got those beef sticks.
Oh, did you? The ice warm beef sticks.
Yeah, but I think we'll save them because you don't have that stuff with you.
I forgot to bring anything. I was going to bring those candies and forgot to bring those. So if you guys have them, you guys could totally do those today.
I do somewhere, but they're in the house upstairs somewhere. So we'll save them. Why not?
Okay.
We'll stretch it out. But I did get the little arcade candy things eventually.
Yeah,
which is good. And Ice Worm was right. That beef stick thing got in. Just nobody told me about it. So there you have it. Daryl, what's going on, man? Are you feeling up? Are you feeling spry and excited?
Well, I'm working on getting there.
Oh,
it's early, you know.
It is early.
Yeah.
You and Ibbot are in the same time zone.
That's right. Hey, time zone buddy. Yeah. Let's hear it for 7:20.
You're in one of those time zones that doesn't matter, it turns out.
That is true.
So true. So, Daryl, we got a Star Trek trivia question for you. It's a tradition, turducken right here on the show. We do it every day. We've done it since week one of the show, and you've been here the entire time. What episode are we on, by the way? Hold on. I just want to, just for funsies, shock everybody into understanding this number here. We are deep into episode... Not showing up. Great. Well, that was well worth it.
It's too high to display.
Yeah, that's right. We don't have enough bites in our bits. Oh, here it is. It's we are currently at 578.
Wow.
579 would be today. So we are pushing ever closer to the fabled 600.
The magic 600 number.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts. But before we get there, we got to do a Star Trek question, and here's yours today. In the original series episode Return to Tomorrow, the Enterprise is contacted by a being known as Sargon, requesting a team beam down to the planet. What? That's weird.
Yeah, a team beam down.
But Sargon didn't request it, did he? Or I guess he did.
All Sargon right. requested that a team beam down to the planet.
Okay, fine. That's
come and visit me, he said.
All right. And Mulhall joins the away team. What science division is she from? Astrobiology, astrophysics, astrodynamics, or astrochemistry? Biology,
okay.
Physics.
What?
All those are your possible answers. And you're going to tell us the right answer, I'm sure, in a minute. But before you do... Why don't you share a birthday with us since we're not eating today?
Okay, that would be Sharon Acker. She's 79 today. She played Adana on the TOS episode The Mark of Gideon.
Is that one good?
Not especially. It's okay.
She would have been pretty young, though.
Yeah, she was.
Something happened to me. So I have a certain old man in my life who... is in his mid-80s.
A certain old man who will remain nameless.
He will remain nameless, but he's in his mid-80s. And but he's a little older than Shatner, okay? So I'll give you an idea of what we're talking about on age here. Who I think believes that he's still in junior high.
Oh, no. So he acts like...
He is a very petty man.
Oh, no.
And the reason I bring that up... is because
to call his ass out.
The presumption is that when we enter that season, those seasoned years, right? Mm-hmm. If we're still with it, if we're still around, we still got our health or whatever. Aren't we supposed to kind of, I don't know, chill out some? Like, aren't we supposed to have a bunch of wisdom and put grandkids on our knees and teach them things that they wouldn't know otherwise and all that? That's what you're supposed to be doing, right?
We're absolutely supposed to be like that, yeah,
okay.
For sure.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's not doing that.
Wax he didn't on, get the wax off.
He didn't go to
Grandpa College.
No, I think he's. It's an odd time to be having what I would refer to as kind of a midlife crisis in a weird way. Unless he lives to be 160, that seems odd, you know?
It's a little late for the midlife crisis.
Yeah, a little late. I think I would take more time off. I would chill out. I'd quit trying to be in charge of everybody, and I would just relax a little. I'd sit in a chair that was a big kind of recliner, you know? I'd read the paper. Mm-hmm. I'd complain about politics and stuff. That's what I'd do.
Right. Sure.
I understand how this is supposed to go.
See, you've read the memo. You know how to act when you become a grandpa.
Right. And do people... Here's another question. I don't mean to be going down this road so much, but it came up. So here you go. Do people still retire at like 56? Is that still the thing? Do people get out of whatever they're doing then? Or is that all changed now and people still work through their 60s? And
I think these days the rules just are completely up in the air. I mean, there's the actual retirement age, the quote unquote retirement age. But I think people now, it's really dependent on how much you hate what you're doing.
Yeah, I guess so. Cause if you're still into it, you're still going.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Right. And then, I tried to watch King of New York. I keep saying King of New York last night with Christopher Walken. It was a 1990 gangster movie.
Yeah. Right, older one, yeah.
Yeah, it's not very good. Essentially, Lawrence Fishburne and everybody else in that movie thinks that scary gangsters all look like Run DMC at the time. There was no way around that. But anyway, I'm watching that, and there's this guy on that show who was really good. He's a character actor, longtime seasoned actor, and I look at him now. I went to see what he's doing now, and he's not that old, but he's just chilling now. And I wondered if... You know, unless you're a character actor that gets tons of work in your 70s and 80s, I just wonder if everybody from acting to accounting to everything else is still like kicking it off at 56 and just, you know, traveling or chilling out or whatever. And I think that's all changed now, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to be doing this show probably in our... Oh, geez.
In our 50s.
Think about that, dude. Think about that. Let's not think about that. All right, Daryl. That'll put Daryl
like in his 80s.
Yeah. Well, at least in his 60s, right? Like when I'm, let's see. Yeah, that's right. Because Daryl's like 8 years our senior or something.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Is that right, Daryl? You don't feel like you are.
Yeah. Well, it's something like that.
It doesn't feel like it, dude. You feel like you're just like.
You are a young, spry chicken and
one
don't
of
let
us.
Anybody tell you different.
One of us. All right. Let's get back to your Kirsten. Happy birthday to that lady. We kind of just barely touched on that.
Right.
So Daryl, it's this deal with the lady. She goes down to the planet there, and she's got some background in astrobiology, astrophysics, astrodynamics, or astrochemistry. What do you say?
Astro Blaster.
Oh man, I love that game.
Those are specialty.
Yeah.
Well, they're all ass something.
You're right about that.
Wasn't there a form of technology called Ask Something?
Okay. If I want any wise answers from you, I'm going to take you out and get some midnight conversation.
I found all my ass words real quick there.
Well, this is where Pulaski first shows up, because that's her.
Oh, yeah. Not as Pulaski, but...
No.
Right. Oh, that's the actress, though? That's great.
Yeah, same actress. Yep.
Yeah. I knew she was in TOS.
We might learn about that in the follow-up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Oh, yeah. Oh, we might. Okay, great.
We might, yeah. I might have read ahead a little bit.
If I skip ahead a little, I can see this now. Yeah, you're right. That's great. I like
Did
to
I
be...
just guess the next question's answer?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, wow. I should get extra points.
Yeah, you should. Mm-hmm. But you won't.
Because Tom's not scoring this.
This ain't no current geek, man.
That would be great to have him do all these, but that's a lot to ask.
Yeah, it is a lot to ask for a guy like Tom.
Anyway, I do really good with him as the judge. But anyway,
he's a busy so-and-so.
Well, you're on our list for upcoming current geek. So when you get on there, you can you're gonna get Star Trek trivia. It's gonna be
oh gosh,
yeah, that's what it's gonna be. It'll be good, though. I'm excited about that.
Ice Worm wouldn't go to that well again for that, would he? Like, he'd come up with something new for Daryl.
Well, what would
questions
it be?
Questions about the Space Needle.
Okay. It's a Seattle coffee questions.
Right.
Who is the snobbiest city in the world? Seattle.
Oh.
Who has a football team named after a fake bird? Seattle. who was birthplace of the Screaming Trees? See, there's a good one.
Wow.
Seattle, right? I knew that. I was into that whole grunge scene. I was down with it. All right.
How many flannel shirts did you own?
Yeah, how many flannel shirts did you own during the 90s, Daryl? Were you into that?
Zero.
Oh.
I don't think I've ever had one.
I think I have two that I own now, and then I probably own more before that. But I was in my 20s, I was kind of into that whole scene. I was really into Alice in Chains and, Pearl Jam and Soundgarden. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Soundgarden. I couldn't stop listening to Soundgarden every minute of the day. I don't know. I was into that whole switchover. A lot of people were pissed. It's like, oh, all my hair bands are gone. What are we going to do? And I'm like, no, this is better. What we're doing here. This is good. This is progress.
Yeah, they're just new hair bands. Their hair didn't wash my hair bands.
That's what they were. Dirty hair band. Exactly.
Right.
So, Daryl.
Yes.
The question before you.
We're doing a thing here.
Yeah.
The only one I wrote down is bio. I guess should I consider the others?
I don't know.
No, let's not.
You want to just do astrobiology, not physics, not dynamics, and not astrochemistry? None of those?
Oh, those last two don't sound good at all.
No, they don't. Astrodynamics.
Yeah, and whatever the other one was.
That's a class I'd fail in high school.
So what was the first one, or the second one? The
second one was astrophysics.
No. Let's stay with biology.
That's
a
real
thing.
She's
Dr. Pulaski.
Right. She's she's going to be at one point in her life.
Yeah.
Let's find out from the judges if you're right. Is it that? Whoops. Is it that?
Congratulations!
Yay!
You're a winner!
Anne Muhal, played by Deanna Muldaur, who would appear again in the There's No Truth... What? Sorry. Is There In Truth No Beauty? And then played Dr. Pulaski in the second season of Next Generation. In the season original series, Anne Muhal is said to be the highest-ranking female character of the show. In the episode Sargon Wants to Use the Enterprise as Their New Bodies, here's a clip of Spock taking some readings. Here you go.
Got something? Sensor is registering some form of energy deep inside the planet.
Your probes have touched me, Mr. Spock.
Well, that's pretty good. I'm saving that one. Give me just a second here. I think that's pretty funny.
Hubba hubba.
Yeah, your probes have touched me. Good job, Daryl. You did it, and that means perfect short week for you. Nicely done.
It wouldn't be a very effective probe if it didn't, right?
No, you need to touch whatever you're probing, right?
Your probes missed me by 3 miles.
Exactly.
My dad gave me in high school for a while. I didn't. I was sort of between cars, and my dad was always going to car auctions, and we'd have temporary cars all the time. And we had he made me drive a white probe. Remember the Ford probe?
Oh yeah, the Ford probe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was an ineffective probe. That thing sucked. It wasn't touching
that
anybody.
That one did not touch you.
No, yeah. And not in appropriate ways anyway. And that thing sucked. I hated that car. Anyway, Daryl, good job. Way to go. Tomorrow, there's nothing. There's no show tomorrow. So there's a night show, but there's no day show. So you're not going to be here for that. So it'll be next week before you get to shine your trivial light on us once again. So as you leave, bathed in sunlight. Actually, it's been really rainy there this week, hasn't it? It's been real bad for you guys?
There's been a couple nice days.
Yeah, not for us. It's been cold and rainy.
It's raining now, though.
It's sideways raining at my house right now. Leave us with one of your weird games.
Oh, is this... Wait, is there any other kind?
I don't know.
Is this a Federation starship or a Canadian superhero?
Okay, hold on. Okay. All right. It's Canadian superhero or starship. Go.
Thunderchild.
Thunderchild.
It has to be a hero.
Yeah, Canadian superhero. It's got to be.
It's too obvious and on the nose. It can't be anything else. Maybe that's what makes us wrong, but let's find out. Because the Thunderchild is a ship.
I'm captain of the Federation.
Starship Thunderchild. Yeah, would you even put that on your resume? You want to be on the Enterprise? Where'd you go before? I was a cook on the Thunderchild. All right, well, we'll let you know. Don't call us. All right, so tell us, how did we do there?
Oh, well, you've been tricked because that was a ship on First Contact.
Damn it.
No way, really?
Thunderchild?
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah, yes. Nicely done. You pretty much, that's the best one you've done.
That is absolutely like the that's the nail, right? Like,
yeah.
That's the See, he saw that one and said, I'm going to base an entire category around this.
Nicely done, Daryl. Now you got to change the category.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by the Assembly of Geeks podcast. Join the super geeks at the Fantastic Fortress every Tuesday as they discuss the issues, passions, and controversies of the geek world. You'll join forces with Merchman, Fangirl, Admiral 80s, and Gun in what is truly a geeky podcast experience. Find out more at assemblyofgeeks.com.
Lovely. Let's get to some of this here news here.
Okay.
Don't pee in the pool, Brian.
Okay.
You'll probably spend a little time in a pool while you're there.
Yes, this afternoon I'm planning on hitting the fantastic MGM pool.
How's the temp? Is it cold? Is it hot? Like, how are you doing there?
It's going to be high 60s, so it's not going to be super hot out, but there'll be lots of sun. It'll be relaxing. I don't really care. I'm going to put on some sunscreen, listen to podcasts, and doze off in a chair. That's my plan for the afternoon.
I think that we've talked before how I prefer the scorching heat.
You like super heat. Yeah, exactly.
In the desert, I do. I don't like it anywhere else. I don't like it where it's humid, but I think I like it in Vegas in particular because I'm already kind of a germaphobe on the strip. Mm-hmm. And I think I feel anyway like the sun is burning all of that stuff off.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like all the unwashed minions that are coming out and that could potentially give us pathogens that would kill us all. It's baking right off of them.
This is like the, right. I totally know what you mean. It's cooking all the bad off of people.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm at with it. It's like a sun bath or something.
You would think that might help the stripper card delivery men, but no.
Mm. Oh, we're about to find out this morning if there are any of those on the strip, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can find that out. I can tell you right now, no.
Okay. All right, good. All right. Well, then they won't be bugging you. So here's the deal. Here's the admonition for you later today when you're in the pool. Don't pee in the pool because it may result in dangerous toxins. Mm. This is according to scienceworldreport.com. Quote, I think everybody pees in the pool. It's kind of a normal thing to do for swimmers. I don't.
No.
I would really like to think others don't, too. I don't like this assumption.
You know why I don't pee in the pool? Huh. Because I'm still in it, and I'm swimming around in it.
Yeah. Guess what, too? Guess who probably pees in the pool? Former Olympian Michael Phelps, because it's his quote. He's the one that said that.
Oh, no, really?
Says, when we're in the water for 2 hours, we really don't get to go out and pee, he says.
Oh, Phelpsy.
Chlorine kills it, so it's not so bad. All right, urinator.
Yeah.
Well,
then drink some.
It's not. have a big gulp. Unfortunately, this turns out not to be true. According to a recent study, researchers discovered that uric acid, a compound found in urine, can. I would hope that the word uric comes from urine. unless you're Robert
you're
Urich.
About the star of Spencer Fry.
Yeah. Or Vegas. Remember when you had
Vegas,
that show, Vegas?
With the dollar sign, yeah.
Yeah.
Vega dollar.
And he worked with Avery Brooks. Speaking of Star Trek, he had...
Really? He was in that show?
Man Called Hawk, yeah. Remember that?
Oh,
his spinoff?
Okay.
It was a spinoff from Vegas.
Yep.
Or no,
yep.
A spinoff from Spencer for Hire. That's
Spencer for Hire, yeah.
They can create volatile disinfection byproducts when combined with the chlorine floating around in the pool. The byproduct of this cyanogen chloride, I'm not sure I'm saying that right,
close enough.
All right. Or what's otherwise, it's otherwise known as a toxic element to human organs if inhaled. Another of these compounds, according to Live Science, is trichloramine. Trichloramine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Federation Starship.
Yeah, it served alongside
trichloramine.
There's the one. Thank you. And can be linked to harsh lung injuries from exposure to chlorine-based disinfectants. In fact, researchers found that the chlorine could react to sweat, urine, or other organic matter floating around in the water. So don't pee. Here's two things I learned.
Yeah.
Don't pee in the pool. And also, I may not swim in public pools anymore because I know everyone else is peeing in it.
Apparently Michael Phelps is, for sure.
Gross.
So this last line should scare you a little bit.
All right.
In fact, researchers found the chlorine could react to sweat, urine, or other organic matter. So basically, yeah, whether you pee in the pool or you sweat or whatever.
Or you do anything.
Or you do anything. Or you put your body, your organic matter, in the pool. Great.
Right, right.
Who cares about pee now all of a sudden?
Yeah, suddenly pee matters. Not at all to me. Is your wife with you, by the way?
No.
She didn't go on this trip.
No. No, this is a solo. This is a solo Brian adventure.
Okay. So for some reason I had it in my head she was going with you. I don't know why.
No, this is she'll come out with me next month when we come here, probably with our friends, but this was a work trip and also a trip where I could do the things that I can't do when I'm with a group of people here in Vegas, because basically you kind of always got to say, all right, what does everyone want to do? You know, oh, let's do this. Oh, let's do that. Yeah. No, like when I'm here alone, it's like, oh, I want to play that video poker machine. I'm going to go play that video poker machine. Oh, I got to tell you the first thing I played when I got here.
Yeah.
So I got here yesterday afternoon about 2:30 and checked into the hotel. I got cleaned up, went back down to the casino. And the first thing I played was a Walking Dead slot machine.
Oh, my gosh. How was that? What was that like?
It was very first season. So you saw folks like, it was like Lori and Shane. Uh-huh. And the bonus is you smearing guts and blood all over yourself with Rick and Glenn.
Wow.
And walking through in disguise through the streets of Atlanta. And the further you get, the more money you collect.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yes,
it's really, really cool, actually.
It's a slot machine?
It's a slot machine, so you get the spinning wheels, and you know, you get a bonus every time you tell Carl to get back in the house. That I'm making up, but
I thought I told you to stay in the house.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
But it's really it's surprisingly visual. Very, you know, maybe not gory so much, but I mean, there's freaking zombies walking around all mm-hmm. over this thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's. It's a huge video slot machine.
That's cool.
Also played some Iron Man. So I'm keeping my gambling to a very geeky thing.
Oh, good. That's how it should be. Yeah.
Yes.
Your poker should be played with Marvel X-Men cards. And
that's right. Yeah. I wish they had those.
Well, I have them here, but they don't have them there. It's unfortunate.
Oh.
I do have this great Marvel card pack. It's awesome.
Really? Yeah. Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah, it's really good. Anyway, yeah, don't pee in the pool. That's what we're saying.
Yeah, don't pee in the pool. Yeah, you can also, if you pee in the ocean, you get the risk of those little needlefish that are attracted to, not needlefish, but there's these little swimming things that will swim up your urethra because it's because of the warmth and stuff.
Oh, right. We talked about those on here. The little...
Yeah, little barb critters.
Yeah, that's awful. Awful.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. That is the worst thing right there. I spent some time on the Mississippi coast, and it used to be before all the casinos were there, you could walk around on the beach at night, and they mm-hmm. had these... I didn't ever see them before, so for me, it was this real treat. If you jumped on the kind of semi-wet part of the surf... It would glow blue under your feet. It was really weird, like neon kind of Tron blue. So you'd jump on it and you'd go and create this like little burst of blue under your feet. And then I just thought that was great. So I started running all up and down the beach. And if you did it at night in the dark, it would just be blue, 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 blue under your feet, right? It was really cool.
Wow. That's really cool.
Next day, woke mm-hmm. up with my feet were about 8 times their normal size.
Oh, no.
They were these little stinging jellyfishy things. I didn't know that. Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, and you're stomping all over me.
Yeah. And I had like hobbit feet for the next 3 days. It was awful.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, don't do that. Recommended against it. All right. So we got a story here that's pretty ridiculous. He's from Florida, by the way. Florida man tries to shoot a puppy. Puppy shoots man.
Okay.
A man who tried to shoot 7 puppies shot himself while one of the dogs put its paw on the revolver's trigger.
Oh my God. It's it's Air Buddies 5 or whatever.
Yep. Jerry Allen Bradford, age 37. That sounds like a Florida guy.
Kind
was being being treated at a hospital for a gunshot wound to his wrist. He decided to shoot a 3-month-old shepherd mix dog. Oh, man, what are you doing? You douche bucket. In the head because he couldn't find them a home. Now, this is according to the sheriff's office. On Monday, Bradford was holding 2 puppies, one in his arm, the other one in his left hand. When the dog in his hand wiggled and put his paw on the trigger of the .38 revolver, the gun then discharged. This is according to the sheriff's office. Deputies found 3 of the puppies in a shallow grave outside Bradford's home, says Sheriff Sergeant Ted Roy. I guarantee you would have found homes for those dogs, you jerk. And they should, and that bullet should have, that bullet should have hit something else, not just your freaking wrist.
Yeah, that's not enough karma for me. I'm not satisfied by just that level of karma. I think you need more. I think more bullets, more pain to Jerry Allen Bradford.
Yeah, it doesn't seem fair exactly, does it?
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
God, what kind of friggin' serial killer in training shoots dogs in the head?
That's awful. Speaking of serial killers, I finished that
True Detective?
True Detective last night.
All right, don't tell me any more than that. That is like a White King or something, right? Isn't that what they're all searching for, is the White King?
The Yellow King.
The Yellow King.
Yeah. And you're going to, I just can't imagine you're not going to love it. I just can't imagine a world where Brian Ibbett doesn't love this show. I just can't. And cool. and I can't wait till you're done so we can talk about the way the ending worked, because it is downright genre flipping. We gotta talk about it.
So, cool. Yeah. All right.
So when you're done, let me know. And we'll get right to it.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by...
Game Child Studios has released their first mobile game. Astro is a quick pickup little arcade game for iPhone, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Download it free at GameChildStudios.com.
Sounds great. 20th Century,
it does sound fun.
Yeah, it does. 20th Century Fox targets Toby Kebbell. Heir to the Kebbell and Bits fortune, to play Dr. Doom in the 2015 Fantastic Four reboot. I didn't know that was also 2015. That's crazy. Oh, man.
Yeah, good luck with that, Fox. Yeah. 20th Century Fox.
I hope it works out for him.
I do. I do, too. I mean, I really like the Fantastic Four as a comic story, so I'm really rooting for it to succeed.
Yeah, I want it to. Those other two are just pretty bad.
Yeah.
I
don't even know really what killed him. Like, can you put your finger on what was? It was just bad story. I mean, because the actors were fine. Jessica Alba was good. Michael Chiklis was good.
I think his foam suit was stupid. Not enough CGI there. I think you got to go.
Yeah.
Good current solid tech CGI.
Like Hulk level CGI.
Yeah. That needs to that'll improve things there. I think it just doctored the way they. I think their choice, it was terrible. It was terrible.
I forgot about that with the Nip-Tuck dude. Jeez, all right.
Yeah, see, remember? See?
Yeah.
Well, they've got their new Dr. Doom. This is Toby Kebbell. He is, we're going to find out who this guy is. He's 31. Dawn of the Apes. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, I think, is who he...
Prince of Persia.
American
War
Hustle.
War Horse.
Yeah. About Time. Oh, no.
Wrath of the Titans.
Is that right? Yeah, you're right. That's the guy. first installment starts shooting in June, or starts shooting right now, I guess, and shows up in 2015. In 2007, Kebbell won British Independent Film Actor Award for Best Actor in his role as Ian Curtis in the biopic Control. Way back in 2004, he was nominated for the Most Promising Newcomer Award. So this guy's got some stuff. He's all right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He looks okay. I mean, I'm looking at him right here. He's got a lot of nostril hair. I don't know if that's a problem. He'll be wearing the Doom mask, so it's fine.
Exactly, and that's the key, is how well can he act behind a big iron mask.
Yeah, look at those nasty nostrils. Gross. Anyway, good for him, I suppose.
I cannot find a picture of him with bad nostrils, but that's okay. Don't send me one.
It's just the one linked in the article. He's just got these hairy, dark nostrils. It's really weird. Anyway, Pat Boone in the news.
Oh, no.
I know, right? And it's not good news either. He's not dying or anything, but Pat Boone is in huge trouble. Pat Boone says the arrest warrant issued against him last week is a case of misinformation. Old guy proved he's got a good sense of humor about it by backing up a bus over Lindsay Lohan. Not really, but figuratively speaking.
Huffington Post.
Yeah. TMZ first reported this. A judge issued a warrant for Boone's arrest after he was subpoenaed to testify in a case involving a luxury condo on a cruise liner. Wait, luxury condo? They have luxury condos on cruise liners? I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. I thought that, you know, you just got a bunk or like a little cabin.
He was a no-show. Boone tells TMZ his only relationship to the ship is he agreed to be a spokesperson once it launched, which hasn't happened yet. And other than that, he doesn't know squat about the project. I don't know squat about it. While he fully intends... That is such a great old guy thing to say, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know squat about it.
That project, I don't know squat about that project. Boone tells TMZ... Oh, wait, here. He fully intends to show up to court. Boone says he says the litigant will, quote, be very disappointed to hear how little I know and I won't help him in any way, unquote. He adds, is this the way Lindsay Lohan and Robert Downey got so famous?
Oh,
well, nice.
Why are you picking on Robert Downey?
Yeah,
well,
yeah, that's not nice. I think this is what old guys do. Time is so compressed that, as far as he knows, Robert Downey Jr. just finished that movie with
rehab.
Yeah, and he just got out of rehab. That's gotta be where his head's at with this. And the Lohan
Charlie Sheen in there, not Robert Downey. Robert Downey has put in his time and he's redeemed himself in my opinion.
He's redeemed himself and I think everyone's opinion. I don't know. You know, take away the Iron Man success, which it just amplifies all of this, but even just take that away, he was having a good comeback in his career. He was doing really strong roles, he had become clean. Like, I don't know what you could ask more for a guy that was in the very depths. I mean, he had hit rock bottom at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe multiple points. And here he is, man. Look at him just doing fine, looking good, in good shape, smiling, laughing, doing movies.
Totally.
Superhero.
Totally. Doing great movies.
Yeah. He's Tony Stark. It's always been a little...
And Sherlock Holmes.
He's a little short for Tony Stark for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's always bugged me just a little bit.
Well, it's the guy who has to overcompensate with a big iron suit.
I guess that's
what you get. I interviewed, I think you know this, I interviewed Pat Boone for Coverville.
Yeah, that's true. It was a while ago.
It was really early on, but I actually got him to, we talked a little bit about his when he was living next to Ozzy Osbourne, and I actually got him on the show live during an interview to do an Ozzy Osbourne impersonation.
Dude, do you have that hanging around someplace as an individual thing?
I need to get that out. I need to...
We should play it on the show.
Isolate that and play it, yeah.
Yeah, I'd love that.
I'll find that. That's a good idea.
Okay. Yeah, he's... I don't really...
But I don't know squat about Ozzy Osbourne.
Isn't it him that they threw a ham over the fence at him or something?
Yes.
Isn't that the deal? Okay.
Oh, no. It was that house, but he had moved out before then.
Oh, he was out after that. All right.
Yeah. It was their new neighbors that they didn't like very much. They wished Pat Boone was still living there.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's what it was. You're right. Yeah. And they would party all night or something, and it would...
Exactly, yeah.
Which makes me laugh. TweakedAudio.com is sponsoring today's program. TweakedAudio.com is a great way for you, if you're in Vegas, to walk around the Strip and listen to something awesome, sit at the pool, listen to your podcast, listen to your audiobooks, whatever it may be that you want to do. They're there for you, and they want to save you some money. Tweaked Audio will let you save 33% right now if you go to their website at tweakedaudio.com. Use the code STREAM, that's STREAM, at checkout for 33% off your next pair of fantastic earbuds at tweakedaudio.com. All right. Brian is going to head down to the Strip. And while he does that, we're going to play a song. And you're going to remind me why we're playing it.
All right. Well, here's why. This is going out to Miles in the Tadpole. And good friend. He's a remote trivia buddy of mine. He always sends me trivia questions, and they're frequently really, really hard.
No.
He says, okay, let's be honest here. Just the three of us. I love ABBA. Can't help it. They're great. I even like the movie Mamma Mia. Don't judge me. Anyway, my birthday is July 3rd. And since I doubt you'll be doing a request during Nerdtacular, how about any time you need to fill space? My request is for Avantasia's cover of Lay All Your Love on Me. If you played it before, then any rock ABBA cover works for me. Hugo Hwas et Evil Litz, which is I love the show, though, backwards, Miles.
Oh, wow. Weird.
Yes. So, you know what I didn't do is I didn't bring any of the information about what album this is from or anything like that. But it's Avantasia's cover of Lay All Your Love on Me from the album...
Lost in Space, Chapters 1 and 2, it says.
That's the one.
Oh, all right. From the artist Anastasia, right? Do I have that right?
Right. Exactly. Avantasia.
Oh, Avantasia. You're right. I don't like that name.
Avantasia. I don't know how it's pronounced. Well, no.
Here it is. That was just handed to me. The actual pronunciation is this.
Nezuch.
All right. When we come back, right. Brian will be in a different part of the world. Tom and Cole will be here, and all will be well. Stay tuned, everybody. Oh, whoops. Stay tuned, everybody.
No little cinnamon gum freshens breath longer than Big Red.
So kiss a little longer, stay close a little longer, hold tight a little longer, longer with Big Red. That Big Red freshness lasts right through it. Your fresh breath goes on and on. While you chew it, say goodbye a little longer, make it last a little longer. Give your breath long-lasting freshness.
Those holes,
lava tubes.
Wow, so intro, much show. This is the morning stream.
Okay, we're back, everybody. We're trying to ring up Brian Ibbett, who is, I presume, at least out of the hotel by now and on to the strip. I could be wrong, though. That's a big big casino. So he's probably tooling himself around trying to figure out where to go and how to be and what to do. So while we wait for him, we're going to go ahead and get Nicole in here and get her started. Because why not? Why the hell not, right? Am I right? I'm right. You know I'm right. You know the guy's got talent.
He does.
Oh, hi, Nicole. How you feeling?
I'm still... You know what? That damn cold is
It's
still,
back again?
No, it's not back. It's just lingering.
It just won't leave.
Yeah.
That sucks, man.
Get out of my body.
Yeah, get out of there. What are you doing in there? This is no place for you. It's Nicole Spag, everybody. It's time for Recommendals. She comes on the show and she makes recommendations based on streaming stuff. In a world of unpluggers, she is a voice of reason and tells us cool things to do while we're trying to figure out things to do. And it's great to have you here. Now, I'm going to try to keep adding Brian as we go here today.
Because I had a question for him since he's in Vegas.
Yeah. I don't know what happened.
Bummed.
I think he's... I mean, I know he's... The plan was to get out on the strip as quick as he could, and we think he has the LTE to do it, but I guess we're going to find out.
Yeah, you never know.
One way or the other. But anyway, well, let's get right into it. Let's
jump in
with both legs, first feet. What? I don't even know what that is. So let's just go. What do you got this week? What are we doing?
Well, since I'm better, not sick anymore, Mark and I are getting back to, you know, a nice routine. And that includes going to the theater.
Right.
To the movies. And I got to finally see my first recommendation, Muppets Most Wanted.
Oh,
I'm
surprised you hadn't seen that earlier, but I guess, yeah, you guys have been kind
of... No, we were so
it.
Sick. And, yeah, it hasn't been... When did it... It was released March 21st, so it wasn't that long ago. It's only been out for a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, I guess so. It's pretty new.
So,
sure.
I'm a huge fan of the Muppets. It's ridiculous. Seriously, if I had my phone here, you would see I have a new iPhone case, and it's Kermit. So there you go.
Oh, that's cute.
I really enjoyed the first one, just the Muppets when they rebooted it. And while the sequel isn't as good as the first, it's still a lot of fun. It has so many awesome cameos. Ricky Gervais plays a bad guy, which is kind of weird because he wasn't that funny.
Yeah. I've heard this. And I also heard there's just kind of a mean-spiritedness about it that you don't like normally see from the Muppets. Is that
true? Well, it's because the whole point of the film is that Kermit gets replaced with an evil frog called Constantine.
Okay.
It's just ridiculous, you know. And Kermit gets sent to prison.
Wow.
And Germaine from Fly of the Conchords, that actor, is in the prison. And also Brent, who's the other half of Fly of the Conchords, is writing the music again.
Oh,
so
Brett McKenzie, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just, I would say, yeah, there's a little bit of mean spirit in it because it goes to some dark places because Constantine blows up like a phone and just a little bit more violent than you're normally, I mean, I don't know. Muppets have always been kind of violent. I mean, you got Gonzo fallen from things and out of all kinds of stuff, but I don't know. I still had fun with it. I loved it.
Mm. So still good. On the whole, still worth seeing. If you're
if you're a Muppet fan, like, it was hilarious because I kind of had a flash forward of my future. Next to us was a mom and her teenage son And at the end of the movie, she's clapping, and he's just like,
Mom, can't be the worst date I've ever had.
So it was kind of funny.
Hey, Brian, are you there now?
I am here now.
Hey, oh, yay, Brian. He's on the strip.
I'm not on the strip yet. Well, I'm about to get on the monorail.
Oh, okay, good. We're going to do this whole schmear. I love this. This is great.
Yes.
All right, good. Well,
if it gets loud, let me know and I'll mute myself because I have no idea since I can't hear myself.
That
was a weird Skype thing. But don't worry, it's all good. Just hang in there, and we'll make this work. Don't you stress. All right,
Brian, how far are you to Vegas? Like,
I'm in. Yeah, I'm in Vegas.
No, I'm saying from your house to Vegas. Oh. How far is it?
Hello.
A flight? He can't hear me.
10-hour drive. I can hear you.
Oh, 10-hour drive. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he flew.
Okay. Hour and a half flight. Yep.
Yeah.
Next? I'm doing some research.
Oh, cool. Oh, you're doing that research. Look, I don't like that Denver's ahead in this fight. I am not pleased about this at all.
Ryan has no clue what we're talking about.
No, he doesn't. But we'll tell him later. Don't you worry. All right, give us number two. Okay. What's the theme today, by the way? Is it Muppets?
Ricky Gervais.
Okay, all right.
All right, so for the next recommendation, I will have you guess it by a soundbite or quote from the movie or TV show.
Okay.
You ready?
Yep.
All right. See if you can get it.
Hold on. Wow. I'm going to say... It's not the British Office, is it?
It is the British Office!
I kind of remember this now.
Best episode.
Yeah, it's pretty
ever.
Good. That one's pretty good.
I love The British Office. It is streaming on Netflix. It's on Amazon Prime. It's on Hulu Plus. If you have not seen it, if your only exposure to The Office has been the U.S., just watch the U.K. version. It is a million times better than the U.S. version.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, I wouldn't. It's not so much better as I would say it's just so. It's so different tonally. Like they really go for the. I mean, obviously, it's got a lot of British humor, which is different anyway, but it's also got a real focus on this is a documentary, whereas the U.S. kind of lost that and was too, like, they'd look at the cameras and kind of play like they're on a documentary, and even the finale really played that up, but the U.S. version would often do things that would definitely not be filmed for a documentary or
The
or
U.S.
whatever.
Version went on way too long. I don't know. I was upset when The Office ended at two seasons for the U.K. version. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like that was they had run the course and they knew it.
Yeah. Plus, that's just how they do it in Britain anyway. There's always short little things. They don't feel like they have to go on for 10 years every time they have a successful show.
And by the way, if you've never watched the UK version of The Office, the little clip I did was Ricky Gervais is dancing and everyone around them is, and he's so awkward and funny and it's just painful.
It's great.
David Brent as a character is probably one of my favorite characters that has ever been created on screen.
Yeah, it's really good. There's nothing should hold anybody back from just watching it. It's just fantastic. When he does when he does that episode where he's like a motivational coach speaker. It's the most awkward, most complicated mess you'll ever see on TV.
I just love it. Yeah. I love it so much.
It's really good.
Yeah. So, and then I think it's a recent addition to Netflix, but I finally got around to watching An Idiot Abroad.
Oh, yeah. It is recent.
Kind of documentary. Ricky Gervais and his friend Carl, Pinkerton.
Pinkerton's are like the guys in the Old West you'd hire to kill somebody.
The album that Ricky Gervais did with Weezer with Pinkerton.
Right. Exactly.
So it's a travel show, but it's hilarious Carl is just so awkward and he just doesn't want to go anywhere or do anything. And Ricky Gervais and his other friend
Stephen Merchant.
Stephen Merchant.
Oh yeah, by the way, I've been meaning to watch that HBO show of his. Have you was something like Hello Ladies? Have you watched it yet?
I did watch it and it's as awkward and uncomfortable as anything that Ricky Gervais or Stephen Merchant have ever done.
I agree. I saw two episodes and it's the most awkward show I've ever seen in my freaking life.
It's like you completely feel bad for him, but he brings so much of this crap on himself because he's so damn awkward.
Yeah. And remember, Merchant is he's the voice of what's his name in Portal 2, the little robot eye. Can't think of his name.
Wheatley.
Yeah. Which is cool.
So yeah, Idiot Abroad is hilarious. Yeah. It's just so like the first episode is China, they go to India, Egypt, Brazil, and it's just and they just send their friend Carl there and they kind of set up things for him. Like they wanted him to walk the entire Great Wall of China. and he's like hung up on eating toad, and of course they make him go to this family and they feed him toad.
Yeah, it's really good. He's super awkward, and he's you know, as best I can tell, that stuff's fairly real. Like they're not playing it up too much to be too much of a reality TV kind of style thing.
Right,
but
right.
It's like you take it like a David Attenborough nature special, but then. And have somebody go to these amazing places to see these wonderful natural wonders and man-made wonders, but then put this guy who really doesn't want to be there in the role of the Attenborough kind of thing. And that's the whole idea, is that he hates it, he can't stand it, everything sucks, nothing impresses him. It's pretty funny.
Like, it's hilarious.
Yeah. And in the second season, they add... what's the actor who played Willow?
No, third season. Third,
oh, yeah.
It's third, third season, yeah. It's... geez. Warwick Davis.
Warwick.
Deanne Warwick.
Well, yeah, Deanne Warwick is.
It's spelled Warwick, but it's pronounced Warwick. You're totally right.
Oh, all right. Well, there you have it. Oh, that's good. I love that show. We love that around
here. Yeah, it's great.
Well, there you go. Three times the charm for Ricky Gervais.
Well, if you don't like Ricky Gervais, you're kind of SOL on this one. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, nothing you can do about it at this point. Nicole, always fun to have you on. Anything going on right now you want to pimp or let people know about?
Nerdtacular planning still going on. I've just been doing a lot of Nerdtacular and Dragon Con planning. So doing Dragon Con again with Brian Dunaway, and we're looking for submissions for the podcasting track. So head on over to dragonconpodcast.com to learn all about it if you're in the Atlanta or going to Dragon Con this year.
Nice. So, very nice indeed.
Try to rope in. Still trying to get you to go, Scott.
It may happen. I don't know. Could be.
It's not going to happen.
Probably not, but hey, might. You never know. Could. Who knows? Nicole Spagg on Twitter for all the details, everybody.
Yes.
And come to Nerdtacular at nerdtacular.com and see her in July, because she'll be there.
It'll be awesome.
With her lovely husband.
She'll be running stuff there.
That's right.
I'll give the illusion.
Yeah. Of running stuff. She has definitely been given a corner.
Her running stuff.
So we'll see you then. Stay safe, and I hope your cough goes away. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
All right, Brian. Where are you at now? Give us an update.
Sure.
Where are you?
I'm at the Flamingo. So mid-strip, the casino that the first time I ever came to Vegas when I was like 10 years old, 9 years old with my grandparents. This was the hotel that had what they thought was going to be the Bill Cosby, Doug Henning show that they bought tickets for. And it turned out to be a topless review. And
turned out
Bill Cosby and Doug Henning were playing over at the Las Vegas Hilton.
So wait, what year was this?
We stayed for the whole show.
What year was that?
It would have been 1978, 1979.
And they stayed for the whole topless review?
Stayed for the whole thing.
Oh my gosh, that's great. That's awesome.
That was my first introduction to to public nudity.
Wow. All right.
Yes.
I remember vaguely the story, but I'd forgotten about it.
So at this point, I'm going to be going through the casino to get to the other side. So I'm going to mute myself.
Okay.
And I'll come back on the other side, because otherwise you are going to hear.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's going to get real loud real quick. I'm going to add Tom to the call. We'll get him going, and then we'll talk to you on the other side.
I'll say hi to Tom, and then I'll disappear.
Yeah, that'll work. Oh, I hear birds or something.
Like every Wednesday. No, that's not true. They're actually real live birds right out here.
That's fantastic.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man is Tom Merritt. Good morning, Mr. Merritt.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Oh, thanks,
good
man.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Mr. Ibbett.
Mr. There Ibot.
Now I'm gonna disappear.
All right, you're gonna mute and go through the casino. Fantastic. Yep. Thomas, it's like a weird little one-on-one for us today because.
Oh man, I'm gonna miss Brian.
It's gonna be all muted for the next little while. I know.
Oh, Thomas. I'm still listening. I'm eavesdropping.
Oh. So I'm here.
Yeah, don't say anything bad about him. Speaking of a guy who's always got his finger on the pulse of stuff.
I'm always taking somebody's pulse.
That's right. It's
whether
Tom.
They want me to or not.
Tom Merritt is that man and always
restraining
has something
order be damned.
Interesting to say. I feel like it's been a weird few weeks for tech, like the Facebook Oculus acquisition news and just all these weird, like a lot of weird moving and happening. Is this all tied to like quarterly like financial calendars in your mind?
Maybe.
Some of this stuff?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if that's somebody could do a doctoral research thesis mm-hmm. on whether this sort of stuff clusters around the end of quarters or something. I think the acquisition announcements, obviously, it's not bad to go near the end of the quarters, but we don't have the Facebook earnings announcement anytime soon. So
that's true.
You know what's going on right now is Peter Larsen from Amazon is up on stage announcing right this second, Scott. This is good timing. The Amazon Fire TV.
Oh gosh, that's a big whoop, isn't it?
Yeah.
So explain what we know so far. If they're introducing it now, do we know very much? Do we have
like,
details?
He is giving the facts right as you called. It's an inch thick, about the size of a CD case. So yay, another hockey puck. Quad core processor, dedicated graphics processor, 2 gigabytes of RAM. Dual band, dual antenna Wi-Fi with WiMO. They're saying videos start immediately if you've got a fast enough bandwidth connection. Because one of the things they set up is how slow these other, like the Rokus and the Apple TVs, you press play and it spins forever before your thing starts. So they're guaranteed, they want to simplify and make it better. Another thing that they said in the setup to this was how difficult it is to search, which I totally agree with. Like you're trying to use an arrow button to search around on Roku or Apple TV. It's a pain. So I'm waiting for that shoe to drop. They haven't announced what their solution to that is. They just said it comes with a Bluetooth remote control, though.
That remote they're showing on screen is the spitting image for the aluminum Apple remote that's currently out now. That's really kind of funny.
I mean, oh, yeah.
Dead to rights. So here's the question. Fine. Great. This is awesome, actually. I'm excited. This TV idea, cool. Great. We need another competitor in that space. It just makes them all work harder, get better contracts, get more content. I'm fine with that. But I'm not going to be able to do anything but Amazon content on this thing, right?
Well, they talked about Netflix and they talked about Hulu. And the home screen that they're showing right now has both of those on there. And they made a big deal about how Apple TV is great, but you're locked into their ecosystem. You can't watch your Amazon Prime videos on there, which made Laura Hazard Owen on the live blog from GigaOM go, oh, are they going to have Apple support on their Amazon thing? I doubt it. But yeah, so it sounds like this is going to be like the Kindle Fire in that you will have apps to other things in addition to the Amazon Instant Prime.
And they keep saying thinner than a dime, but they don't mean dime laying down. They mean dime standing up, right?
Yeah, probably. That thing does not look thinner than an actual dime.
Yeah.
On its side anyway. Yeah.
This is interesting.
But it looks like it's about an inch thick. So it's still.
Do you feel like, so supporting 1080p streaming, that's good. Dolby Surround, all this stuff's great. HDMI out, you know, the form factor seems nice. All these things seem good. If it's mostly focused, and if they get, to me, it seems like their biggest competitor leading up to this was Netflix, because their whole idea is to move content. Selling the hardware is an okay way to make money, but it isn't necessarily the long tail in this, right? Like, you really want to get the content moving. Just the idea that they would have a Netflix app on this device seems a little crazy to me.
Well, it is interesting. They allow competing video apps on the Fire along with Amazon Instant mm-hmm. Prime and mm-hmm. Amazon Prime On Demand.
Sure.
So I believe that Jeff Bezos has said this. If he hasn't said it, it's certainly been touted about a lot that this is his strategy, is that he wants to make money on selling things through Amazon.com. And all of this stuff is really just meant to get people to shop at Amazon.com.
Right.
So he has separated the Kindle software team from the Kindle hardware team, and if that makes any sense.
Sure.
In the past.
Sure.
So that the software team is like, yeah, we're going to put an app on the iPad because, you know, okay, that might eat into sales for the Kindle Fire, but we don't care. That's not our team. Our job is to sell ebooks. And the Kindle Fire team says, well, yeah, we're going to have competing apps on the Kindle Fire because that's our job is to make Kindle Fires that people buy. So I feel like that's kind of the smartest strategy is like get people to buy your device from you, think about you and go to your website. And in the end, you win. It's a longer term bet, though.
Right. And it does definitely seem like this is the Apple TV play. In other words, that's the model because what they're doing. And this kind of makes sense why, you know, I've got my Apple TV in the other room. I got a PS4 in there, a 360. And both of those two other devices support Amazon Prime streaming. My iPhone, my iPad, all of these things have Amazon Prime streaming apps, right? But the Apple TV never got one for no real reason, in my mind, because it doesn't make any sense. Why wouldn't you want to, if you've got on all these other devices that are also part of the Apple ecosystem, why wouldn't you have it there? Well, now we know that maybe this is one place they didn't want to have it because they were going to come out with a device that is essentially doing their model. I mean, they've got some.
I always assumed it was Apple saying, no, we will not allow your app.
Maybe, but why would they allow it on a
because
like iPad?
Because what they don't allow on Apple TV is anything that competes directly with the iTunes store.
Remember,
Apple doesn't have a streaming service. So Hulu, great. Netflix, great. And they probably told Amazon, yeah, you can do Amazon Prime Instant, but we're not going to let you have the Amazon Prime video on demand. And Amazon said, well, it's all or nothing. It's all tied in one service because you don't see Vudu on the Apple TV. You don't see any of those sorts of things. Whereas on the iPad, they're more open. They're not open, but they're more open about what kinds of apps they'll allow on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you can't get Vudu and other downloadable video competitors on the iPad.
Sure, but unlike Roku, unlike Chromecast and some of the other competitors in the space, this one seems straight up modeled to go, you know, toe-to-toe with whatever the Apple TV is today. So this is interesting to me from that perspective because here's a competitor that just flies in the face of what Apple is currently doing with a similar model. What does Apple have up their sleeve, according to Tim Cook and all his secretive comments, for whatever their next strategy is for Apple TV moving forward?
And I mean all love and respect when I say this, but who cares?
Yeah, I guess I kind of don't care.
You know, at this point, like how many years? Call me when you got something.
Yeah, that's
Amazon's kinda, got a product today.
Right
I'm
now.
Much more interested in that right now.
Yeah, I think I want one. Did they price at all? Do we know?
No, I haven't got the price yet. The thing they're going over right now, though, is their search algorithm. And this could provide a little insight into why they're letting these other competitors on here. It's called ASAP, and it predicts movies and TV shows that you're going to watch and cues them up so that they start instantly. It'll pay attention to your behavior and learn over time what kinds of things you like. So when you search for a show, it'll search across all the different apps. If you're a subscriber to Hulu Plus, it'll say it's free. And it won't just, you know, it doesn't sound like it discriminates between the different apps. But you know what it's going to do? It's going to expose you to things that are available only on Amazon.
Yeah.
When you do this search. And it's going to cue things up that it's like, oh, you like Downton Abbey? Well, guess what? We've got the exclusive. You know, you like Sherlock? Well, guess what? We have the exclusive on Downton Abbey. Well, you might like that too because it's another British show. We're going to put that in your queue for you.
That makes sense. I like that stuff. That all sounds really good to me. This instant on, instant go kind of stuff is pretty compelling. If this thing's $100, it's just a no-brainer. Like, let's do it right now.
It really is going to matter what the price point is. Of course, that won't come till the end of this announcement. Started at 8:00, so
yeah.
A lot of times these things go for an hour. We may
not
find out. Although they got to the specs in the announcement pretty quick, so maybe this one will only be a half hour.
Well, if it comes, so here the two kickers for me are price, and if it's 100 or you know maybe 130, I'm okay to go that high or something. But if it's got Netflix at launch, Hulu Plus at launch, other apps you expect to see on one of these set-top boxes that their competitors have.
They're showing a screenshot on GigaOm here. It looks like they have a lot of the ones that you would expect. It doesn't look like it's an open app store. They say they're adding partners all the time, but you've got Flixster, Hulu Plus, Ted, Vimeo,
Crackle.
Yeah.
That's good. So we can still watch the same four episodes of Seinfeld over and over. That'll be good.
Riding in cars with celebrities getting coffee or whatever.
They always got some deal.
It's a really good show. I could just never remember the name.
It's fantastic, that show. I love it. I binged that over like 2 days, and then all I could do is dream about comedians for the next week. This is all very exciting. We'll keep our eyes on the prize, and probably by the time you guys do your tech show today, you're going to probably have all the full details.
You almost called it tech news today.
I almost did. It just about came out, dude.
Yeah, Daily Tech News Show this afternoon. Lamar Wilson's on, which is perfect because he knows from video. He's a smart guy about this stuff, so we'll be talking about it for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited. That'll be great. The Daily Tech News Show, everybody. Go check it out. Tom, anything else in your world of note?
Veronica and I are so freaking excited. We just ordered all of the Sword and Laser anthologies to be printed for the Kickstarter backers.
Oh, that's great.
So as soon as those get shipped out, they're wending their way to David right now for a packing fest, and then they'll get shipped out to all the Kickstarter backers. And once we're sure they're in the mail for Kickstarter backers and they start showing up, then we can actually make it available for anybody who wants one. It'll be both a print version and an ebook version. Probably we're guessing around May 1st.
That's awesome.
Is when this will all come out. And I tell you, man, I'm really proud of this thing. The authors that we found are amazing. The stories are great. It looks wonderful. I'm really excited to get this in the hands of people.
Well, that's awesome. Doing a big project like that and having it come to fruition, there's really not too many things quite like that. So
more than a year in the making. Yeah.
Y'all should be proud, as you clearly are. And as stoned as Veronica has been lately with her painkillers, I think she
she's getting better. She's just got the wrist wrap on. She's not in the cast anymore on the wrists.
So I kid. Well, there you go. It's Tom Merritt, everybody. Ace Detect on Twitter and all over the damn place. TomMerritt.com. And geez, there's just too many things to mention. But make sure you catch us this weekend on our show, Current Geek, where we together welcome returning guest Randy Jordan and new guest Chinbeard / Bill Duran. For a fine episode of Current Geek this Friday at 5
Whoa,
o'clock.
Whoa, the Amazon thing is voice command.
Shut up.
Speak into the remote control.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh.
That's great. Into the remote. That's a big deal. That's cool. Except, will that look weird, me holding that up to my face and talking?
Sorry to drop that on you right there at the end.
But no, that's great.
Just came across the blog.
Take that, Microsoft Xbox One, with kind of sketchy voice commands. You got a nice competitor for your media serving needs. That's cool. Very nice. All right. Well, Tom, take it easy. Good luck. And let's all buy one of these.
All right. Thanks, man.
See you, dude.
Bye.
Bye. Hang up. Okay. Brian Ibbett, are you there? Hello, Brian Ibbett. Earth calling Ibbett. I must be lagging. Earth calling Ibbett. All right. Well, hello. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, barely. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
It must be really loud.
Hello, hello? Hello?
Hey, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. I can hear you.
I can totally hear you.
I can hear you now.
I can hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, I'm going to try and get somewhere where it's a little bit. Okay, I can hear you.
Are you in the? I think you're hearing me really late.
I don't know. I don't know when I'm hearing you.
Oh, so
all I hear is you.
So tell me how quickly you hear the word furt.
Furt.
Oh, that wasn't bad. All right, you're good.
All right.
You passed the first furt test. Yes.
The furt test, good. So I'm in the Link, LINQ, here between what used to be Imperial Palace, but is now the Quad, and the Flamingo, or Hera's, the Flamingo, I think. And this is the site of the notorious and infamous brand new Sprinkles Cupcake ATM.
Mm. Now, this is literally like in the side of the hallway wall thing there. It's built.
Yeah, I just tweeted a picture of it.
Oh, let's take a look at that.
Okay.
That's awesome. So you're gonna order while you're there, right?
I'm going to order it because this is my breakfast. I have not had anything for breakfast yet, so this is what I'm going to order.
Ah, good and healthy then.
Yes. It's running on some sort of Windows option here.
Okay.
All right, so here are my choices. I've got a black and white, a chocolate marshmallow, cinnamon sugar, dark chocolate, lemon coconut, milk chocolate, red velvet, or vanilla are my choices. I'm going to go with a black and white.
All right.
It's the ebony and ivory.
Right, and then you'll have
it's
your
Belgian.
Your 11-year barf record will be broken. Oh, uh-oh. Did we lose him? I knew this would be tricky. Trying to maintain a stable connection over LTE or anything else in Vegas. Yeah, we lost him. All right, well, we'll keep trying to call him. We'll give that another shot. While we call Brian back, well, let's get to emails real quick. By the way, emails brought to you today by Experience Points, my comic, making a big comeback in Read Retros. This is Retro Magazine's issue number 2. Subscribe today using the code FROG and get 40% off the cover price. That's at bit.ly/retrofrog, bit.ly/retrofrog, and get 40% off that subscription. That's insane. By using the code FROG. That's FROG. And at Read Retro on Twitter, if you guys want to follow those guys. But anyway, I'm excited about that comic being printed in a regular magazine. That magazine is awesome.
There we go. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Okay. Are you there?
Cool. I am here. Yes.
Okay, good. So how did it work? Did it go? Did it come through?
Yeah, so apparently the LTE right by this thing is horrible.
Yeah, that thing probably steals it all.
Let me go ahead and describe the situation. So I read off the flavors to you.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and also get away from this music because, A, it sucks. B, it's really loud.
Yeah.
All right, so you've got all your different choices of flavors that I mentioned, all sorts of flavors you can get. And once you choose your flavor and you swipe your card, you get a live webcam image from inside the machine as this thing grabs your cupcake from a wall of cupcakes, which is inside a nice little box.
So there's no human intervention, right?
None whatsoever. Okay. It's all machine.
Okay.
So this little webcam shows you the cupcake that you're getting, and it comes down a little conveyor belt to the actual door that opens up, and you reach in and grab your cupcake.
So are these in other parts of the country? I assume they are.
No, this is purely a Las Vegas thing as far as I know. This is like, so right here in the link, there's this place, there's this Sprinkles Cupcake, which I imagine that might be a franchise, Sprinkles Cupcakes. Mm. But as far as I know, this is the only ATM.
Oh, that's awesome. What a cool idea.
So, it really is. So, you know, anytime day or night. When we were here last night with Svet and James, there were people out there buying cupcakes at 2 o'clock in the morning.
So is there any line today, or are you the only guy there?
Oh, God, no. I'm the only guy here. It's me and a bunch of construction guys who are working on the unfinished parts of the link.
Oh, wow. Okay. But they're not. But they're not getting cupcakes, right? They're just working.
They're not getting cupcakes. They're working on the fountains and all sorts of stuff here. Wow. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to do another tweet with a picture of the cupcake I just got.
I'm trying to find your. I didn't see it for some reason. I'm going to search for it. Make sure they're coming through here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see.
It should be my most recent tweet as of like.
Now it's totally working. So.
Okay. Cool.
Well, hold on. 6 hours ago is your last tweet. It says.
Oh.
Yeah, apparently it's not coming through.
Let me try. Let's see. Maybe the first one. Oh, maybe the first one didn't go through because of where I was standing. The LTE. So I might actually have to go. So now check the new one.
The irony, you wouldn't have heard this, but the irony of how long the word LTE got lagged out there for a minute was too great, too awesome. It was, you went like this, you went the LTEEEEEEEE like that. It was great.
Awesome.
All right, so now let's see. Yeah, still nothing.
Yeah, so refresh and see.
Oh, there it is. There it is. Really? Found it. My purchase. So it shows
okay,
your.
So there's the picture that's the cupcake I just bought. But let me see if the.
So how fresh are these things? Where are they coming from?
They were made, so the one I got was made yesterday. So right next to the ATM is the actual Sprinkles Cupcake store, which doesn't open until 10. They apparently, while they're there during our normal business hours, they're also cranking out a bunch of extra cupcakes for this machine to go overnight.
Okay. So it's so
that as I look in, there's like a little window in the bottom of this thing, so I can see that a lot of the cupcakes are gone. There's, you know, maybe about 25% of the wall still has boxes with cupcakes in them.
That is some really sweet music playing. That's incredible stuff.
You can hear it still. Yeah, yeah. I thought I got far enough away from it.
are the construction guys just ready to pull their hairs out and kill each other or what? Because that is terrible music. Awful.
I imagine. Yeah, they're actually going to break into an impromptu fame style dance any moment now.
Oh, that's good. Well, that sounds like fun, man. What you got? Anything, you got anything else you want to show us while you're rolling around?
No, not really. I mean, I could. Let's see. What else is right around here? I could take a picture of the giant observation wheel.
You should take a picture of that. Yeah, you should take a picture of that.
I'll tweet a picture of that too.
Coyote Brown on Twitter says, "Scott, there is one of these outside the sprinkles." Oh, are you there? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yep.
Okay. I think it's super lagged.
Oh no! Did I lose you?
No. You're still there. It's just super lagged. You're hearing me way after I say stuff. Let's see how long it takes.
Oh. What did somebody say over Twitter?
Twitter, they said, Coyote Brown says, Scott, there is one outside the Sprinkles Cupcakes office in Beverly Hills, so there is apparently one other ATM that you can go to in this country.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Good times.
At least one.
Yeah, at least one. So
let's see if I can get away from the Green Day music, because that's loud, too.
Yeah, that's Vegas. That's what you do in the morning in Vegas.
Let me know if this gets any better. It is, yes. You go buy a cupcake at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-oh. We lose him? Yeah, we knew this would be tricky, guys. We kind of just knew it. All right, I'm going to try to call him back. While we do, let's... while we're ringing that thing. Is it ringing now? Crap. Try that again. We'll do a couple emails. Ryan wrote in, says, "Hey, Scott and Brian, I see your male swallowing a fork and raise you 18-year-old male who pushed the ink cartridge from a Bic pen, metal and all, out entirely up his urethra." Oh, did you hear the urethra thing?
I heard the very end of that.
This guy
Bic
says,
pen up the urethra, that's all I heard.
This guy works in an ER, and he says prison guards brought this guy to an ER the past Saturday where he got treated. His reasoning, he wanted to annoy the guards. He shoved a pen, including the ink cartridge, metal, and everything, right up his urethra just to piss off the guards.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then his final thing before quitting the email, he says, "Shove the pen, yo, Ryan, a.k.a. Zombie Doc." Whew, that's rough, dude.
Nice.
I'd like more stories from that guy.
We talked yesterday. Yeah, no kidding. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we were talking yesterday with Svets. Since we had that Romanian story about the guy who ate a fork.
Yeah.
We were talking, James and I were talking with Svets yesterday about, if people from Eastern Europe are really as weird as they sound.
What'd
she
say?
She said, no, they're not.
They're not?
She stuck up for them.
Oh. I would have, I don't know what I...
No, she stuck up for them.
I don't know what I expected, but I don't know. I was hoping that they were as crazy as they sound on this end of the... of the ocean. We got one more email here. Let's do this one from Ted in Sweden. He says, "Hey, Scott and Brian, here's some interesting science for you. Scientists have successfully reversed the aging process in mice, according to a new study just released. Human trials are next to begin, possibly before the next year. The study published in the peer-reviewed science journal Cell after researchers from both the U.S. and Australia made the breakthrough discovery. Lead researcher David Sinclair of the University of South Wales says he is hopeful the outcome can be reproduced in human trials. A successful result in people would mean just not slowing down of aging, but a measurable reversal of aging as well. This was published on the 1st of April yesterday, and I am not 100% sure this guy is, I think this guy may have gotten duped. So I just want to point that
totally out.
Yeah, it sounds fake to me.
I don't believe anything I hear. Exactly. Totally does. Oh, reverse aging. By the way, this came out April 1st. Sure.
And there's a bunch of people in the comments who believe it. So there you go. Fantabulous. That's your emails. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is your show. Brian, I'm jealous. You're going to be having a good time today.
I am. Today's going to be a fun day. It's going to be photos of Gale Sayers merchandise, hanging out the pool, and then going to see Same Sex Mary perform tonight. With Stephen Malkmus from Pavement.
That's awesome. You'll have to report fully on Thursday when you get back on how things went.
I totally will. And this is a damn good cupcake, by the way.
Oh, I'm jealous of the cupcake as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's sweet. Let's get the hell out of here. I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you, AlphaGeekRadio.com, for our Shoutcast stream this morning. And to Tom and Nicole and Daryl and, of course, Brian for making this work from all the way from Vegas. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. On Twitter, MorningStream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville. Let's get the hell out of here. You've got a final song to play, another Africa cover. I can't wait to hear this.
That is correct. And I'm trying to pull up the email. Holy crap. I wasn't prepared for this, and this was a bad idea.
I can tell you who did it.
Well, yeah, but this is a dedication from a guy who lost his father 5 years ago today, and I wanted to make sure.
Dang.
I know, and I feel horrible if I don't get. Here we go. I'm pulling up the email. Give me just a second here.
You're all good. This is the best connection we've had, so I'm all
good. I'm not going to move from this spot.
Yeah, this is pretty solid.
I know you're trying to build something right here, construction worker guy, but you're just going to have to wait.
Just flick a card at him.
That's probably what they do at night when they can't build stuff.
Sure.
All right, so this is going out to Ryan Meshuggah. He says, hello, Scott and Brian. Every year I want to make this request, and year after year I forget. Not this time. This year will mark the 5th anniversary of my father's passing. While we didn't share much when it came to music, the one real memory I always kept was when he brought home Toto 4, which of course had Africa on it. Ever since then, every time that song plays, I'm reminded of him and that day. If you could be so kind as to play this on his birthday, which is March 31st, oh, sorry, I'm a couple days late, I would really appreciate it. It could be the original or a cover of your choosing. I trust your taste and judgment. Love the show, though. Ryan from New Jersey.
Nice.
It's a very, very heartfelt email. So this, you know, it seems like we've played a dozen different versions of this, right? Like the Relayant K version, the Mark Messé version, this one we haven't played. This is a really cool one that I sent over to you. Remind me the album that this comes from.
The album is Your Record/Our Spin.
Your Records, Our Spin. So this is a group called Quiet Drive, and this was the CD that went out last month to all of the StreamSac supporters, support level on Patreon.
Mm.
So every month as part of the Patreon, that Patreon level and higher, I send out a hand-picked CD of something that I really, really like out to patrons. Well, actually, Dave Michael does, but
but I
pick the album,
sure.
So it does come from me. And so Quiet Drive's album was the one we did for last month, and this song is so, so good. The whole album is really good, and I can't wait to hear what people think of it once they start receiving it. But this is Quiet Drive from the album Our Records, Your Spin. No, Your Records, Our Spin. And their cover of Africa.
All right, well, here it is. And by the way, quick update, this Amazon Fire.
Oh, yeah.
Is going to also be positioned as a game-playing machine. So,
of course it is. Oh, my God.
Controller.
When's it available? Take my money, Amazon.
Extra $40 for the controller, and not much else is known. But, it's going to be an interesting day for those guys. So here you go. It's Africa. It's another cover. We're going to play it now. We'll be back Thursday night for TMS PM. Brian's flying in the morning. No show tomorrow. And we'll see you guys tomorrow night. Thanks, everybody. And thanks, Brian. Have a safe day, man.
Thank you, sir. And we'll talk to you soon. Thank you, listeners.
Bye, everybody.
Conversation. She's coming on a 12:30 flight. The moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me to salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some forgotten words or ancient melodies. He turned to me as if to say, hurry boys, it's waiting there. Take me away from you. There's nothing that a 100 men no more could ever do. I'd bless the rains down in Africa. Gonna take some time to do the things we never had.
the Serengeti. I seek to kill wolves deep inside, driving by this fire that I've become. It's gonna take a lot to drag me away from you. There's something that a hundred men no more could ever do. I bless the rains down in Africa. Gonna take some time to do the things we never had.
Do 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 do.